Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom we listened to now as he speaks to us through his word, Jesus, the ultimate authority. Let me share with you again a couple of verses from the gospel reading. From Mark chapter 1, a continuation from last Sunday's gospel reading, where Jesus and his four new disciples, Peter and Andrew, James and John, that he called last week, now are with Jesus, and they're in the synagogue there in Capernaum. The people were amazed at Jesus' teaching because Jesus taught them as one having authority, not as the teachers of the law. And then after the interruption of the demon-possessed man and so on, Jesus casts out the demon, and then the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority." He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him. So far, the word of our Lord. Authority. Jesus has the ultimate authority. We talk a lot about authority. In fact, Super Bowl weekend. Who's going to have the authority tomorrow night? Who's going to have the authority, New England Patriots or the Seattle Seahawks? And will it be offensive authority or defensive authority? It probably depends on what quarter you're going to be watching. We always talk about those kinds of things. Well, what about students in school? What about when you have a substitute teacher in your classroom? What kind of authority is there? Do the students have the authority or does the teacher have the authority? Or maybe at work, how about do the workers at work have the authority or does the boss have the authority at work? Any of you that have little ones, maybe 2 or 3 year olds? 3 year olds, I do it myself. I want to be in charge here. I want to do what things are happening in this family. There's sometimes power struggle, authority struggle, even in marriages, or should I say, especially in marriages, as husband and wife want to try and vie with who has the authority and who has the power there. And most definitely in our government. In our government, we have that struggle of authority. It wasn't that terribly long ago that President Obama, he doesn't need congressional approval before engaging the nation's armed forces in Iraq. And yet, the House Speaker, John Boehner, and the Republican Majority Congress says, "Oh yeah, I'll show you." We've got all kinds of questions of authority. So, who has the authority? Who has the final authority? You know, it was just less than 2 weeks ago that we had the State of the Union address. The State of the Union where President Obama came and addressed the nation with lots of pomp and circumstance, with lots of interruptions, with applause, with lots of promises, with lots of all kinds of authority that he said. How many changes have happened as a result of that? Mayor Karl Brewer, just this past Tuesday, had the State of the City address. And he addressed us as well with lots of authority and lots of plans and lots of things that were going to happen. How much change happened as a result of the words that they spoke? Kind of more like a pep talk, wasn't it? Kind of more like a pep talk that they gave. Well, I remind you of those two very recent talks, those two recent addresses, because, boy, we have a different one in the gospel reading here. We have a very different one in Mark chapter 1 as the Gospel of Mark introduces us to Jesus and his authority. And the authority that Jesus had through his words as well as through his actions. Jesus had great authority in his teaching. Now, it was very different. There was no pomp and circumstance as Jesus went to the synagogue that day. There were no TV cameras that were rolling, obvious for all kinds of obvious reasons. There was some interruption, but it wasn't applause that interrupted Jesus' message for that day. Very different as Jesus spoke that day, very different as Jesus speaks to us today, and yet very much like our politicians. Do we just take it as a pep talk when Jesus speaks? Or does Jesus' word truly have the authority that it had that day, the authority that it still has today in our lives and in the world today? Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he's taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. It must have been that those who were teaching prior to Jesus' time, they would quote these rabbis that had talked and taught these different things, and to prove it, they just talked about other rabbis that have done it. Attorneys at law do the same thing today, don't they? They say, this court case was won back here, and so therefore it still holds true today. When Jesus spoke, and he said his word, and it gave authority. Gospel of Matthew helps us out with many examples. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, do not murder, but I say unto you, anyone who is angry with his brother is a murderer. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I say unto you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus' word is with authority. Jesus' word is so much different from others. He has the authority because Jesus is the author. Jesus is the author of that word. Jesus is the very word of God. And so, of course, he has the authority, as it is the very word of God that he speaks and that it affects our lives. In a worldly sense, it didn't look like Jesus had any authority at all. He wasn't a king. He wasn't a president. He wasn't even a priest. He wasn't even a scribe or a Pharisee of those days. His authority was almost an invisible kind of an authority until he spoke and until he acted. That same authority of Jesus is still somewhat invisible to the world today. How much authority is there in some water poured over a baby's head? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The world looks at that and they say, no power at all. No authority. Nothing happened. How much authority or how much power do people see as they see bread and wine at the Lord's Supper? And as we come and we receive Christ's true body and blood, and the world says, what? No, just bread and wine. How much authority do they see in lowly preachers speaking a word to a congregation, God's word that is spoken there, or moms and dads speak it to their children, or teachers teach it to their students? How much does the world see that kind of authority? They don't see it at all. And yet it has power and changes lives. It has power to forgive our sins. It has power to change us. It has power to lead and to guide us. So often, though, people will hear the message, whether it's preached in the church or taught at home or mom and dad say it to the children, and it's a pep talk, and that's all it does, and it doesn't change hearts and lives. Did you hear from that first scripture reading from Deuteronomy chapter 18? As Moses, he knows that he's towards the end of his life and he's ready to die. And God's speaking through Moses. And he says to Moses, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. Already in the Old Testament, Moses is saying there's going to be another prophet like me, a greater one. Of course, we know it's Jesus. And already back then, he says, listen to Jesus. And he warns that if you don't listen to the true prophet, if you don't listen to Jesus, if anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. That's a pretty scary threat. God is going to call to account those who don't listen to the words of Jesus. But Jesus came not to condemn us, not to judge us. You know that Jesus came so that we might have salvation in his name. Jesus came to take that punishment for you and for me, taking that punishment for the times that we just hear it as a pep talk, that we don't have the authority or recognize the authority of Jesus. He came and took that punishment so that His word might work in our hearts and in our lives. He came so that He might bring us salvation rather than condemnation. And so we read how Jesus, as He speaks already at the very beginning of his ministry, and that great authority that He has, and the authority then that He had at that time as He was speaking, the people were amazed. He was interrupted in His speaking. He was interrupted not by applause, but by a demon. Did you know that the devil goes to church? He always does. He never misses. The devil comes to church and wants to take us away and try and distract us from God's word. And this demon certainly came and wanted to distract the people from this. The demon, as he spoke, he wanted to say, "I'm in charge." He says, "What do you want with us, Jesus?" As if the demon was in charge and had the authority. But Jesus, He cast him out. And He cast out that demon because the demon had no authority as Jesus was there. So often, the world and our sinful nature, and even the devil that never misses church, wants to have the authority in our lives as well. And so Jesus says in His word, "No longer conform to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed. Let the authority of My word transform you. Let the waters of Your baptism transform you. Let the true body and blood transform you so that you might have that great blessings that God gives to you. Live by the Spirit and no longer gratify the desires of the sinful nature," God's word says to us. That authority that God gives to do that for us. Oh, how the devil disrespects God, and how sometimes we do as well. "No, God, I know better. I know that's what Your word says, but I'll choose to do it this way." The world certainly does that, doesn't it? Saying that whatever you want to do is fine, and changing the morality and all kinds of things that are there, of the misuse of all the gifts that God gives to us that the world says to us to do. The devil, the Satan, the demon-possessed man, what do you want to do with us? Then they said, "Have you come to destroy us?" Well, Jesus came to bring salvation for you and for me. Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil, the power of the devil. The devil's still around, very much so. We're in spiritual warfare all the time. And Jesus has come then to strengthen us with the authority of His word, with His good gifts, to help us as we battle against Satan until that last day when Satan and his angels will be cast into hell. "Have you come to destroy us?" "No, I came to bring salvation for all people." And then the devil tries to pull one more fast one on Jesus. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Did you hear it in the epistle reading from 1 Corinthians? Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Knowledge puffs up. Sometimes the devil will bring that in, and because we have this knowledge, rather than a faith relationship with God, this knowledge that would lead us away from God. All of a sudden now the authority is in our knowledge rather than in what Jesus is and what He has done for us. The man who thinks that he is something, our scriptures tell us, who thinks he's something does not know as he ought to know, but the man who loves God is known by God. Ah, how wonderful that is. Knowledge puffs up, but being known by God. Known by God because we're His sons and daughters in holy baptism. Known by God because Jesus Christ came for you and for me to suffer and die and take our sins upon Himself so that we might have salvation. Known by God, and so we know God as well. Known by God, so that as we read the Scriptures, we come to love those Scriptures. And we know the great authority that those Scriptures are. That as we read those and study them and hear them, it changes our lives. And it brings us great blessings. known by God and loving God, so that we come for the forgiveness of sins as the pastor speaks that forgiveness as we confess our sins, as we receive the great gifts that God gives to us of word and sacrament. Known by God and loving God as we leave this place and go out and serve in loving service. Loving service because Jesus' authority works in us and through us. In a world that has it all messed up, that has it all mixed up, where they think it's all about them. No, we are known by God and love God and serve God as His authority works in us, as He creates in us a clean heart and renews a right spirit in us as He continues to work in and through us. What a precious gift we have again tonight. A precious gift as Jesus speaks His word to us, as He gives us His deeds of His true body and blood, reminding us of all that He has done and continues to do for you and for me. He is the ultimate authority for our lives. He continues to lead us and guide us and bless us. May that great blessing continue to be ours through the authority of Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.